Yeah, we read our radar.
Well, I think that I appreciate that, ma'am. I appreciate that. I think
let him.
Miriam.
Yeah, but I didn't see the report with respect to what happened in Yemen. But certainly, the world is a dangerous place, and there's certainly a balance between the expertise of our officers, our police officers, two of whom we have in the back, and their ability to protect us and our own ability. That's right. Let me finish. Okay, I'm happy to. And their ability to protect us and our ability to protect ourselves. Certainly, we all have the Second Amendment. I haven't finished my... You don't know what I said?
Miriam,
darling, you got to listen to me, darling. I'll tell you what I think, darling. And then you can say, I disagree with you, but you can't. You don't know what I'm going to say. What if I said everybody gets assault weapon? Would you disagree with me? So you didn't know what I'm going to say, did you? Yeah, very nice.
All right.
Well, I want to live. You know, we all can have guns, but we just got to limit the kind of guns we can have under the Second Amendment. What else you got?
Anybody else have anything for Mr. Hertzberg?
I want to say I'm over the hill, and I remember the first Superman, and you look a lot like him with your glasses on now. And he was a handsome man.
I like
seriously?
That.
Does he not look like George Reed?
Yeah.
Doesn't
I like
he?
This. Get that
doesn't
on tape. I look
handsome,
like
handsome. Yes.
Donna Pierman.
That's right. I completely agree. I know that there's been some efforts to bring the city council to the valley and other parts of the city. It's a smart idea. I know that Bobby Shriver's talking about the same thing with respect to the Board of Supervisors. I think it's really important. And when I finish my government service, I want to elevate the neighborhood councils to borough systems where you have real power and there's a real devolution of power in every community in all corners of the city of Los Angeles. So you don't have to go downtown to have your voice, that you're going to hear it in every council of every corner of the city, whether it's South L.A. or San Pedro or Van Nuys or Sylmar or wherever else it may be, because that's the only way to run the city. What do you think about them apples? All right.
Anything? Anybody else have anything for Mr. Hertzberg?
Over here we got.
So very much.
Oh wait, hold on,
Bob.
We got the
$5.
Carino
part.
And Derek. Carino.
He looks too young to be asking the question. Yeah, Derek, come on, baby. Show me your stuff.
Okay. What is your position on climate change?
It's bad. But I have spent the last 12 years of my life traveling the world working on renewable energy. I just want you to know, and I don't say this in tongue in cheek. Or that it has any meaning. But you're looking at not Superman over here, a very handsome young gentleman, thank you very much, who was selected as one of the 50 people to save the planet with respect to the issue. I have been working on this stuff in a very significant way. This was through the Guardian magazine in the UK. I won the World Bank Award in Africa for the same kind of thing. I think it's fundamentally important, and it's one of the principal reasons why I'm going in government after all these years being out of government, because I think it's so important. And I've been able to travel the world from Africa to India to China to gain experience and ideas that I can bring to California that moves us past the rhetoric of talking about climate change and really doing something big about it. It's a big deal. Thank you.
Derek,
to piggyback off.
Still too young.
Derek and then Howard.
To piggyback off your world traveling, what are you going to do with Washington to support the TPP and to support international trade and attract that foreign direct investment?
I don't know. You know, when I was Speaker of the House, we had 88 countries come and visit us. I developed a special office of international relations, hired folks from the State Department. I didn't rely on Washington for those purposes. And I think people looked at California. Then it was the fourth largest economy. Now it's the eighth largest economy. And when I get elected, we're bringing it back home to where we used to be. And I'm telling you, it's all about doing the homework. It's about building the personal relationships. It's about doing what you got to do. Business is personal. All these kinds of relationships. And so I think, look, certainly there's a lot of large underlying framework. My partner in my law firm was the former trade representative, Mickey Kanner, under the Clinton administration. And I certainly know the issues, but I'm telling you, it's, at the state of California, the issue is much bigger about really having a sensitivity to the larger global environment and really engaging at a significant level.
Mickey Kanner, he's got
Mr. Vice President, did you have something for Mr. Speaker?
Yeah, Howard.
I'm hoping that you will incentivize the movie industry.
Yes, sir.
Industry
yes, sir.
Within the city of Los Angeles.
State of California.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know that the governor's position on this has not been the most tolerant. But
the mayor it is.
Quite frankly, it built this city.
That's right.
And we're flushing away.
That's right.
Billions of dollars
right.
per year by doing this.
That's right.
Any plan?
Yes. Big plans. Here's what happens in a nutshell. I'll just close on this question. We have all these incentives where we, like, each politician goes out and says, I'm going to offer more money. It doesn't really work well. What you've got to do, and I talked to Schwartz and Schnitzel about this when he was in office. Schwartz and Schnitzel. And the point is that what we've got to do is this. We can determine through the Department of Finance how much economic activity is created by movies. It's called the economic feedback effect. We're just going to create a number, and we're going to create a baseline number, and we're going to create an automatic program that when you have the films, you just basically create an automatic deal. Instead of the industry spending all the money on lobbyists and paying all these political contributions to be able to every year get these deals, it's got to be an automatic program where it tells the story of how much economic feedback is created by the movie industry. And you're absolutely correct. Every business, go down the list. I live on Langdon in Van Nuys. It's the number one filming street in the city of Los Angeles, okay? I want to benefit from that. So it's a really smart thing to do, and there's a really smart way to approach it, and that's what I'm going to do.
Very good. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bob Hertzberg.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
I'll be back. What do you want?
Yes, because we
you
need help.
You come to my house, you hang out, no problem. I'm easy. I'm all around. No problem. I'm the local guy. Come on.
That's what
yes.
I said.
That's right. I live in Van Nuys.
Hey, we'll have some onion rings. We'll have some onion rings. All right.
No problem.
Oh,
thank you, Mr. Hertzberg. Thank you very much, sir. All right, moving on. 8G, vote on and elect a new chairman and or co-chairman for the Parks and Rec Committee. Does anybody want to be the chairman or co-chairman of the Parks and Recreation Committee? Maria Skelton, were you interested in being the chairwoman?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Camara, I gave my word to Candy that I would support you as a co-chair. Are you still interested in doing that?
He's, you want to do it?
He's good now? You're good? That's fine, but I wanted to keep my word. You're welcome. So, without any further objection or discussion or debate, I make a motion that we elect Maria Skelton, the chairwoman of the Parks and Rec Committee.
Second.
With that, I call for the vote, Mr. Secretary.
President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Treasurer Hopp. Secretary Hendry, aye. Mr. Camara.
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta.
Yes.
Mr. Guevara.
Yes.
Ms. Havard.
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Mr. Luna. Mr. Martin.
Yes.
Ms. Meyer.
Yes.
Ms. Padden.
Yes.
Ms. Skelton.
You can vote for yourself.
Yes.
Okay.
You should, I mean.
Mr. Lacka?
Yes.
Okay. Unanimous?
All right. Madam Chairwoman, congratulations.
Yep, okay. Well,
yes, Candito. Maria, thank you very much for picking up the torch and running with it. Speaking about running, there are a few 5Ks that my newspaper supports that we could work with your committee. And then also I was thinking of possibly doing a charity golf tournament in the Valley that I would like to work with you on. Thank you very much for your service. Very good. Moving on. 8H, vote on and elect a second signatory for the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council. I believe our esteemed vice president is interested in serving and has already taken the necessary training. Any discussion and debate on this?
Call for the vote.
Well, Howard, I think you've got this wrapped up. I make a motion that we elect Howard Benjamin, the second signatory for the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council.
Second.
Very good. Mr. Secretary, I call for the vote.
In just a second. President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin. Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Mr. Kamara.
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta.
Yes.
Mr. Guevara. Ms. Havard.
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Luna. Mr. Martin. Ms. Meyer.
Yes.
Ms. Padden.
Yes.
Ms. Skelton.
Yes.
Mr. Waleko.
Yes.
Unanimous.
Very good. Thank you, Howard. Your first duty as second signatory will be to go over the forensic audit we're going through. But, no, we did get an email back from – okay, very good. So we'll address that. He gave us till Friday, so we'll get that stuff to Merlo. Very good. Thank you very much, Howard, for your service. 8I, this was inspired by our former president, Mr. Derek Walenko. Vote on and approve a National Children's Day on the celebration.
Can I correct you? That was not me. That was all Maria. I just want to give her full credit for that.
All right. Maria gets full credit for this. Vote on and approve a National Children's Day based on the celebration of children and all they do for the families of Van Nuys and across America. I happened to mention this to my parents, and they quickly retorted, every day is Children's Day. But there is no official Children's Day celebration. We looked it up in America. I know Korea or South Korea has this. That's where the idea came from. Derek, what actually goes on over there?
It's a national holiday. Everything's closed down. Parents come out, and they actually celebrate their children, and they have great festivals, parades. It's a really big day.
That's fantastic. So if we could take the lead on this, we get this out of our council, maybe we give it to Congressman Cardenas, and we establish the first Children's Day. Does anybody have any discussion or debate on this? All right, so with the language as is, the proposed date is the first Sunday in August. August doesn't have a lot going on. It needed a holiday. It was looking to have a holiday in August. Does anybody have any objection to the first Sunday in August being Children's Day? Well, Mother's Day is on Sunday. Father's Day is on Sunday. Well, it's going to be summer vacation anyway. With no further discussion or debate, I make a motion that we adopt 8I as is. With that, I call for the vote.
President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Treasurer Hawk. Secretary Hendry. Aye. Mr. Kamara.
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta.
Yes.
Mr. Guevara. Ms. Havard.
Yes.
Is that Guevara not here? Okay. Mr. Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Mr. Luna. Mr. Martin.
Yes.
Ms. Meyer.
Yes.
Ms. Padden.
Yes.
Ms. Skelton. Mr. Waleko?
Yes.
Mr. Rivera was not...
He voted yes in Spanish.
Yes. Okay. Unanimous?
Very good, guys. Moving on. 8J, GoDaddy funding for email renewal for VNNC board members. Not to exceed $225. Howard or Carino, can we speak on this?
You go ahead. All right. But with the discounts that were offered to
Call for the question.
Very good. With no discussion and debate, let's call for the vote. Mr. Secretary, I call for the vote.
Okay, just a second. Let me get the seconds down. President Thomas.
Yep.
Vice President Benjamin. Secretary Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Mr. Kamara.
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta.
Yes.
Mr. Guevara. Ms. Havard. Okay, Mr. Lazarevitz. Mr. Luna.
Yeah, you're on that card.
Ms. Martin. Mr. Martin. Ms. Meyer. Ms. Patton.
Yes.
Ms. Skelton.
Yes.
Mr. Waleko.
Yes.
It passes unanimously.
Very good. Yes. Roland, you're recognized.
Getting back to the Korean... I didn't get to
children's
say. the VA is holding a Korean, which we hold every year, a Korean day, which I think it's on June the 28th, which I'll be talking for, being that I was in Korea. And just wanted to say that there is a day for Korea in the VA hospital. Well,
it's not. It has nothing to do with Korea.
Nothing to do with Korea.
What we voted on has nothing to do with Korea.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about what we're doing over there. And yes, we have. When I was over there, candy and clothing for the children there, for the orphanage. It's bad that we couldn't cover all the orphanages because there was many. And I got pictures of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Roland. Thank you very much. Moving on, 8K, the VNNC light pole banners need to be replaced, discussion and debate. I have an email here from Scott Greenwald, and I'll just read it real quick. This is something we do need to address as a council. It's to Jeanette, and I was CC'd on it. Hi, Jeanette. While the banners appear to be weathered, well, a close inspection of the ones that we've had to remove shows that the vinyl is brittle, normal for having been in the elements all these years. Replacing only some of the banners with new ones would make the old ones look terrible by comparison. Bright and colorful versus faded and dirty. We have the original art and could easily print the image again. As for the fees, which was part of the question, they're part of some new rules added to the city banner ordinance last July 1st. You're right, we have no choice but to adhere to the city rules. Please keep me posted on the progress made and let me know if there's any questions. Thanks, Scott. Discussion and debate, council members. We have it on the agenda as funding it for $2,500. Does anybody have anything on this? Mr. Luna.
Just a small point. Has anybody ever tracked the effectiveness of these signs?
Probably not.
I'm just curious because I'm new. What are we getting for $2,500? Other than a sign, I mean, what are we actually getting?
Well, it look.
So it's branding and awareness, but has anybody ever? That's kind of where I was going. Just a polite suggestion that we would only spend money on things that we would have a return on. That's my comment. Well, there's no return because you can't track it.
Maria Scherzer.
Thank you.
George.
Thank you, Maria. Jeanette.
I took a personal survey myself to see how they are. That's why that email was addressed to me, stating what it stated. I found one on Sherman Way, midway down the street. They don't go all the way, but they, you know, the ones that I did see, there's one that is really torn apart and really looks shabby. There's a couple that look really good because they're actually foreshadowed by the palm trees and in the shade, and they actually look brand new. The rest of them are dirty, but they will disintegrate if they're washed. That is the one thing I asked him. And the same thing is true of the ones on Van Nuys. Some of them look pretty good, but if they are washed, they will just fall apart. So the best thing to do would be to replace them. We are trying to upgrade and improve the government center. We want it to look nice. We want people to recognize that this is the government center for this portion of the valley, and at one time it was for the entire valley. And I think in the interest of making us go back to that glory day, I would like to see them kept and replaced. And as Howard so aptly put, it's our branding. It shows our building and so forth, and I really think it's a good idea. Thank you.
Candy, and then the nice lady in the back. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Marilyn, and then Maria, and then we'll call for the question. We would have to go back and forth with Mr. Greenwald and find out about that. Howard, did you have something?
$997 for fees for those the permit that he had to get. $997 was part of that money. Yes. Yes, and but it was $997, but yes, they can, and they did. How old are those signs? Candy, how old are those signs?
4 years old.
Okay, well, some of them, like I said, were literally the one on Sherman Way had a tear this way and this way, so vertically and horizontally, and it looked like holy heck. Then there were some, like I said, underneath the palm trees that were somewhere in the middle of where the island is, and then there were some over on this side. The ones that were underneath the palm trees, like I said, looked really great because they were shaded by the palm trees. But the majority of them were down the center. On Sherman Way, there were, it didn't go as anywhere near as far because there weren't enough. but the majority of those looked pretty bad. Now, up and down Van Nuys, they look a little better, but how close could you get to really see? So anyway, but what he did say was if because they've been there for a while with the sun and, you know, like today's weather, okay, rain and what have you, although that stuff weathers pretty well after 4 years, if you wash it, it'll just crumble. So we do have to replace them. I don't know if we want to spend that much, but I'm telling you, if we turn down this bid and we go back, we'll have to go back and forth, find out how much and whatever, and we'll lose the funding cycle. So as I mentioned earlier, George is worried about us not spending the money that we need to spend for something worthwhile. I agree with this young lady here that it is a good idea for branding. It brought her in. How many other people may it bring in? It lets other people from other neighborhoods know about us. And I have to tell you, I've had people tell us it looks nice. They are going to be redoing Van Nuys Boulevard. I don't know how many of you have seen. Where was it that we went, ladies? Oh, my goodness. Oh, the new fellow's office in North Hollywood, where they had the little cafes and stuff. Anyway, I think it was Lankershim or whatever it was. Anyway, they redid this the boulevard, and I was really amazed at how really nice it looked. They want to do that for Van Nuys Boulevard. They've discussed it at the city council, and the mayor has already promised to come and revitalize Van Nuys Boulevard. I don't know how far. I don't know how much he's going to do.
But
the idea that he's going to, this will go along with that.
All right. Did you have...
Yeah, so I wouldn't lie. They do charge, exactly. No, I don't believe you can. They're raising it, so they're trying to make money.
This thing costs $225. I understand that some of the end comes into play.
Oh, God, I can't remember.
But, you know, the printing costs on it alone probably is $275. But it's $75 for each banner.
No.
Well, I'm happy to table it. I'm happy to vote on the funding and then put Scott Greenwald through the ringer. It's whatever pleases the council. What do you guys want to do? You want to just vote on this now and see what happens? And
yeah.
All right. So I make a motion that we adopt the language as is on 8K, and vote for the 2500.
You can always lower it, Howard. Okay.
And with the understanding that we are going to get very involved and put Scott on the hot seat about the city funding fees and everything else. So the language as is, 8K with a second for Mr. Benjamin. I call for the vote.
President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Treasurer Hupp.
Aye.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Mr. Kamara.
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta.
Epstein.
Epstein. Mr. Guevara.
Yes.
Ms. Havard.
Epstein.
Mr. Lazarevitz.
Aye.
Mr. Luna. No. Okay. Mr. Martin.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Ms. Meyer?
Yes.
Abstain. Okay. Ms. Patton?
Yes.
Ms. Skelton?
Abstain.
Abstain. Mr. Waleko?
No.
No. Okay. Two no. One.
Yes.
Two. Four abstain.
Two
nine eyes.
Pass. Our new member, Luna, Mr. Luna, and myself. Yes.
Does that change the outcome of the vote? Does Mr. Luna's, is he the swing vote on this?
This is a nine is more than.
All right, with that, let's definitely go through it with a fine-tooth comb and find out what we're getting for our money. Moving on, the 8L, readoption of and procedure to enforce the code of civility. Three strikes and you're out. In February, we adopted the Neighborhood Council Code of Civility that was given to us by Thomas Sung. It passed unanimously. What we are getting at here is how our council would go about actually kicking somebody out of the room for inappropriate behavior. Donna Pierman had briefed us and said that the L.A. City Council has like a three strikes and you're out policy, and you're banned for what, 1 month, 6 months?
Only one meeting.
So you get kicked out for that meeting, and then you're banned for one meeting. Okay. So then three strikes and you're out, and then you're banned. So we would need like three eruptions out of someone, and then we would kick them out, and then they're back again. Okay, so my proposal was that the parliamentarian and the sergeant at arms could come up with a strikeable offense. If Joseph and Paul were okay with that, I would support that. Does anybody have any discussion on this from the council? Let's hear from Maria and then Candy. The legal basis for this is from Government Code Section 54950, which basically states that their outbursts are not allowing us to conduct public business. So that is going to be the backbone of this whole thing, and that's part of the Ralph M. Brown Act. I'm happy to establish procedure with this. I would say, like I stated before, if Joseph as the parliamentarian and Paul Anon as the sergeant at arms find that a certain person in the audience or even a council member or anyone is not allowing our council to conduct the business of the public, that would be a strikeable offense. So if a person is not allowing us to continue on with our business, and the state legislature has this on their books, the city of LA does the same exact thing, and the basis, the whole thing is us not being allowed to conduct public business. So if the council wants to establish some kind of precedent, Candy, did you have something on this? Marilyn.
Thank you. Yes.
Without a doubt.
No, absolutely.
Yes, that is absolutely. Although we will be giving the authority to Joseph and Paul to establish whether it's a strike or not. In my humble opinion, just as a council member, I could see how somebody in the audience doing sign language and mouthing obscenities would be halting our ability to do the public business. No, I've seen it before in the past, and that's why this is good that we're doing this. Does anybody else have anything on? Yes, Kathleen Patton. We're establishing new precedents. Yes.
Okay, because I just want to make sure whoever you're talking about,
no, we would not have the legal basis to do that. That's why we're doing this now. Councilwoman Patton. Kenny Ortega. How are you, sir? All right, Donna. I agree, Donna. I think we should stick to the three strikes and you're out, and have the penalty be they're not allowed to come back for one meeting. Maria. Does anybody else have anything on this? Yes, Mr. Luna. That would be good. We could follow up with the city attorney and see what they have on the books. All right, strike three. You're out of here, Miriam. And we'll see you in 2016. You were banned for 2.5 years. Now, Miriam. You're just fine. Miriam, let's hear from Miriam.
I'm going to have an asthma jacket.
We're all adults. We should conduct ourselves in a civilized manner. The point. Okay. But if somebody is really not conducting themselves, it should be that meeting. They should be out.
We understand.
Okay. But you can't kick out a non-stake mode from out of the area and tell them they can't come back. That, Kathleen, that was out of order.
Yeah, we can.
Very good. Yes, Candy, you're recognized. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm totally surprised. Matt Dowell's decision, he won against the city of Los Angeles for this exact thing. And you haven't contacted the city attorney, and we need to have their input. But it has to be accountable on both sides. So I want to pass these out and pass them down. We can make sure everybody gets them.
Can Miriam have one, please?
A few meetings ago at the executive committee, Mr. Benjamin accused Mr. Camaran. He just voted for Mr. Benjamin to be the second signature. But he accused him of being drunk and that Mr. Officer Kavutnik was going to arrest him. But he stepped in and prevented that. So I want to play what happened that night so we hear it. We don't want Mr. Benjamin off. He just has to apologize. So at that time, Mr. Benjamin stated falsely that Mr. Kavutnik stated that he would have him removed. If you can see by the email, Officer Kavutnik, who has served this community for many, many years, made it very clear that he never said that and he never saw Mr. Camara drunk. In fact, the date that he stated that Mr. Benjamin said that Camara was drunk, he was with Father Rodolfo with 50 of us across the street, did not have a drink because Father Rodolfo was having surgery for his knees, and he had to assist him. I don't want to see Mr. Benjamin. He's probably one of the best new members we know. But he does owe him an apology because he works with us in the community with the food bank. We had to inform the food bank that there were accusations that he was drunk and that there might be some things going against him. It isn't true because Officer Kavutnik makes it very clear in there that he never did what Mr. Benjamin stated. So, Mr. Benjamin, I hope that you will apologize to Mr. Kamara. We can move on or we can take this to the city attorney. But, sir, you guys are doing a great job. Mr. George, this council is moving on. And something that was said to me, and even as our commissioner stands here, it's been said over and over, you guys are becoming the example of how to run a neighborhood council. So let's move that forward. Let's not fight each other. Let's disagree, but let's be respectful of each other and make sure that, again, Mr. Kamara's reputation, because as Ms. Patton said today, I have to go back, and because we serve food and we bring in food, they may penalize this because now I have to report that we have cockroaches and rats in our thing. We're not going to be able to bring food in. I really do have to go back to the food bank and tell them, look, we got a problem with the thing. You're going to have to come in and check, inspect our facility. And what's going to happen to the thousands of people that we serve? We've been checking. We've never seen it, but because of one, I got to follow up, and I'm going to make sure that if you can't answer, we will make sure that we get rid of the rats and the cockroaches. But a lot of people are going to suffer. I wish you would talk to the father about that. But again, I hope that Mr. Benjamin will have the guts.
I'm more than happy to entertain that. I as well did hear about Mr. Kavutnik possibly putting Mr. Camara under arrest. So I personally will apologize for that, Mr. Camara, as just a normal council member. I'm sorry for implying any of that. And Howard, do you have anything? Just we can move on with our lives.
What happened at the Elks? What happened at the Elks?
Mr. Camara, you are putting words in my mouth. You are misstating the truth here. I said that I had a conversation with Penny as my witness. No. Don't play it again. I am telling you what went down. You have misstated the situation.
The same way they did about the speech.
Mr. Morris, if you are going to quote me, I said that Officer Kavutnik came to Penny and myself after Mr. Camara made some disparaging remarks against Penny and said, what's going on with that gentleman? And I said, I don't know. And he said, it appears to be public intoxication. never spoke to that gentleman. You never spoke to him. I never inferred that you spoke to him. I never said anything to that context in my conversation with Mr. Kabunik and you. And if you listen to that tape, that's exactly what I
said. I'll give it to the assistant. Mr. President, thank you. You're a gentleman scholar.
Mr. Camara.
If I can just
let Mr. Benjamin.
I have the floor.
I do, sir. I have public comment.
You do not have the floor.
Mr. Benjamin.
Mr. Camara,
we're allowing our meeting to be disrupted.
I apologize. If you will sit down in that chair.
Let him apologize. Let Mr. Benjamin.
I would be more than happy to apologize for Mr.
All right.
Camara.
This is just what we're talking about. Our meeting is being disrupted.
All right.
Okay, but let's be clear about it. I was called upon by the president to come up and speak. I took the floor to present the facts.
And I intend
go ahead.
I intend to apologize to Mr. Camara.
Thank you, sir.
However, I do not want to talk to you about this situation. This is between Mr. Camara and myself. You are a third party in this. You have nothing to do with this. You are simply a stakeholder at this point in time. You are not a member of the...
Gentlemen. Can we get Sergeant of Arms or something in here? Gentlemen,
right.
Let's just move on. We're talking about the code of civility right now.
Exactly.
And this is...
That's why I brought it up, because, again,
let me speak, sir.
I haven't said anything. I got my 2 minutes. I've only spoken for 40 seconds.
You've spoken way more than 2 minutes. This whole meeting, you've spoken about 10 minutes already.
Mr. President, you're the president. Tell me what to do.
All right, we are going to let Mr. Benjamin apologize to Mr. Camara, and we are going to move on with our lives.
Thank you.
Mr. Benjamin, you have the floor.
Mr. Camara, I sincerely apologize for inferring that Mr. Kabunik spoke to you about public intoxication. It never took place. I never inferred that. I never said that in any way, shape, or form. The point is that Mr. Kabunik, Officer Kabunik, came to me and made a statement. I simply defended. I simply defended you.
And that's the absolute
Mr. truth. Camara, do you accept Mr. Benjamin's apology? All right. Yes. Fantastic. I don't know. Can be. Okay. Very good, everyone. We are back to the Code of Civility adoption in the procedure. I
recommend that we table until we can talk with the city attorney.
I think that's a great idea. And Mr. Luna, will you take the lead on this? Our contact at the city attorney's office is beautiful.
George,
I'll loop you in. And that's
we are allowed to do that because other neighborhood councils have done the same thing. And the fact that we are supposed to be fashioned after the city council and they have something like that.
How about this proposal? We adopt the language as is with the understanding that Mr. Luna will follow up with the city attorney and find out what our legal rights are under the three strikes and everything else at all. So I call for the vote on 8L, the readoption of and the procedure to enforce the code of civility, three strikes and you're out, with Mr. Luna following up with our city attorney. Do I have a second? Very good. I call for the vote, Mr. Secretary.
Okay, just a second. I want to catch up with the green chair. Okay.
Yes. I vote yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Mr. Camara.
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta.
Yes.
Mr. Guevara.
Yes.
Ms. Havard.
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Mr. Luna.
Yes.
Mr. Martin. Ms. Meyer. Ms. Patton. Ms. Skelton. Abstain. Okay. Mr. Baleko.
Abstain.
Abstain.
All right, Mr. Luna, as soon as we set up your new email address, I'll get you the information for our contact downtown. And keep us up to date and give us an update next meeting. Thank you, sir.
I'm keeping an eye on that.
Very good. Up next is 8M, 7036-7040, North Van Nuys Boulevard, Elder Facility, United Unified Permit and Site Plan Review. Proposed project is for the new construction of a five-story, 132-unit licensed residential care facility for the elderly with 87,875 square feet of floor area and 61 parking spaces. Carino, this came out of your committee, no problem?
Yeah, they came to the Plum Committee twice. In the first meeting, they addressed the concern of one of the stakeholders, but they never responded on the second Plum Committee meeting. So we approved it with flying colors.
Very good. Donna.
I seriously am not exactly Dana. Sure how to follow that up. Chicken.
It's a tough act to follow. Okay, you are recognized.
Thank you. It's nice to be back here. My name is Dana Sales. I'm going to try and address the board, so I apologize for everyone in my back. With 360, we're land use consultants for 309 Overland Avenue, Culver City. I'm here tonight with our project architect and the developer. So we're here tonight actually to discuss a proposed project. It's a 132-unit elder care facility. The project is located at 7040 Van Nuys Boulevard, which is at the corner of Vose and Van Nuys, a block south of Sherman Way. The site is zoned C21L, permits development up to six stories or 75 feet. Surrounding properties on Van Nuys Boulevard are 1, 2, and 3-story commercial buildings, and then to the east of the project, it's a multifamily neighborhood. The project, as proposed, meets the definition of an elder care facility under the city's code, which essentially means that it provides a minimum of two services in one unified facility. It can be independent senior housing, it can be assisted living, it can be skilled nursing, it can be Alzheimer's and dementia care. In our case, this proposed project is all assisted living and Alzheimer's dementia care memory care units. 76% of the unit assisted living, and 24% are memory care units. That's important because these are not traditional dwelling units. None of the units have full kitchens. They have little kitchenettes, and so they're technically classified as guest rooms for purposes of density and everything else. It's very important that the people that live in the building do not have the ability to cause damage.
Burn it down.
The building is approximately 89,000 square feet. It's five stories. There are 61 on-site parking spaces, which is in excess of the city's code requirement for the facility of 58 spaces. So at this point, I'm actually going to turn the presentation over to our project architect to walk through the project, and I'll come back and talk about our process, and we can answer as many questions as everybody has. I also have a few sets of plans that we can pass around to the board to pass around while we're talking, and anyone obviously can feel free to come up and look at the boards as you feel appropriate. And I will Vanna so you can talk.
Mr. President, members of the council, my name is Jay Flatter. I'll wait till he passes that out so he's not blocking.
Thank you very much.
All right. Mr. President, members of the council, my name's Jay Blatter. I'm a principal with Hochhauser Blatter, Architecture and Planning. We're based out of Santa Barbara, California, although we do quite a bit of senior housing work here in Los Angeles as well as throughout the United States. The Van Nuys Assisted Living Project is really based on the principles of many of our projects, which is to create a community that emphasizes and enrich quality of life for the elderly residents who will be residing here. As Dana said, it is assisted living and memory care. And really what we'd like to foster is an environment that encourages social interaction, intellectual stimulation, and wellness. And these are all things that elderly, when isolated in a home, when they're, you know, too old, you know, to get out, really lack. So really we want to encourage and create a sense of community, and that's really a large basis of the project. It is a very amenity-rich project because we need to create an environment that can foster these activities. I'll just use the laser pointer to point out a little bit of what's going on in the project. On the ground floor, we have a large outdoor garden area which is due south, so it gets lots of daylight and lots of fresh air for the residents. We have a lobby, living room, lounge, reception area with the administrative offices where residents can, you know, address their needs with the full 24-hour, 7-day staff.
That's what I want to know.
We have dining, and the dining really is designed to give an enriched experience. Mm-hmm. We have both formal dining as well as bistro dining. So you're really giving residents the ability to choose of what type of meals they'd like to take, whether it's a more set plan or more informal dining. In addition, on the ground floor, we have a beauty salon because for hair to be done and other treatments. We have a wellness clinic, and the wellness clinic is really there because according to licensing, we'll do monthly evaluations for the residents, but also, and part of the wellness program is to check blood pressure, help those with diabetes, check their insulin levels, all that type of stuff. So really the wellness clinic is not so much a medical clinic, it's really as part of the whole wellness program for the facility.
Are you going to have RNs, or who's going to be in this clinic?
Well, they'll staff it with some RNs and also LVNs, but okay. It's one thing I want to make clear, this is not a nursing home, so it is really for the definition by the licensing, it's for people who need assistance with at least two daily needs of living, whether that's food, tracking medication, grooming, bathing. But once they need 24-hour skilled nursing care, that's a whole different...
Yeah, exactly. They're in a convalescent home.
And then at that point, they would end up in a licensed 24-hour skilled nursing facility.
Correct. How much are these units going to cost?
I'm the architect, so this is a rental project anyway. It's not a condominium project. It's a rental. It's generally, most projects are just monthly rentals. There's no long-term... you know, leases, because, you know, and the average length of stay generally ranges anywhere from 24 to 36 months. So just to give a little bit of background data. In addition, on the ground floor, we have a fitness center. This will be equipped with special equipment that has pneumatic assistance, so it can help the elderly maintain their fitness levels and muscle tone. We also have a large multi-purpose activities room that can serve both for larger exercise classes, film, slideshows. Once again, it's all part of that cultural enrichment program. On the second floor, and I don't have the full... On the second floor, we have a library. We have additional lounge space, a wine bar, once again, for social activities. This is really the first floor where we have our residential assisted living units. In addition, on each floor, we have a bathing room, although all of the residential units have showers in them. Some people need assistance with bathing, so we have community bathing rooms. In addition to the main amenities, we have on the first and second floor, on every floor of the building, we do have living rooms and lounges. So that in addition to the main amenity spaces on the lower floors, in the evening, after dinner, residents can really interact with family. The idea is to have an environment that fosters visits, family interaction with other residents. The third floor of the project, which I don't have the plans, they're similar to this, is designated strictly for the memory care floor. And as Dana said, that's where people who are dealing with Alzheimer's, dealing with other forms of dementia. On that floor, we have what we call therapeutic kitchens. They take their meals in a living room setting. And the whole concept there is for the special needs of people with memory care to have a neighborhood environment, because familiarity and comfort, one-on-one relationship with caregivers is very important, because it alleviates the anxiety and anxiousness that's associated with dementia and creates a much more family, comfortable social setting. And that's the whole basis of that third floor. In addition, on the third floor, we also have not only the outdoor gardens on the ground floor, we do have on the third floor an outdoor space that's very secure with 7-foot, 6-inch high, you know, walls at the same time. It's getting lots of southern light. So really, we'd like to emphasize daylight, fresh air, a really healthy environment. as far as the design of the building goes, and here are some renderings, we always try to emphasize something that's respective of the existing urban fabric. There's a number of horizontal and vertical breaks in the buildings. We pop units out to create sort of a contemporary form of a bay window. We have green walls along the street because we want to be environmentally conscientious and have a softer setting along Vos Avenue. And generally, it's a rich texture that includes both plaster in different colors, trellises on the south-facing windows to be really responsive to the environment and create shade. And also, in some limited areas, we're using some metal elements to break up the facade and treatment. All in all, we want to create a very rich residential-scale building. It has a lot of breaks, a lot of scale, and it's something that not only will the residents relate to, but as you're walking down the street, it creates an enhancement for the general neighborhood. If you have any questions, I'm here.
Anybody have any questions for this nice gentleman?
I'm going to add one thing.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
Point. Parking and driveways has come up a couple times in our land use committee meetings. So there are actually three distinct parking areas for the project. Most of the parking is in a full subterranean level of parking that's accessed off Vos, which will go down, and that's mainly for the employees and the guests of the building. Something that had come up in our land use committee meetings was making sure that there was always enough guest parking. And so we did a full staffing plan and presented that to the land use committee and showed essentially the maximum number of staff and employees that would ever be on site, including RNs and housekeeping and cooks and everyone would be about 31, and we have 61 parking spaces in the building. So it basically means about half the parking is always available for guests, since pretty much none of the residents will be able to drive or have cars. So in addition to the subterranean parking at grade, access kind of off the walking corridor is the handicap parking. That's also van accessible so that vans can come in, they can pick up, they can drop off, and emergency care will be there. And then all of the back of house and sort of service uses are off of Van Nuys Boulevard. So there's three parking spaces back there for employees, for loading, for drop off. All of the trash collection and everything are actually contained within the building. And all the loading will be handled on site as opposed to all the other buildings on Van Nuys Boulevard. There's no alley. So there was a really conscious effort to get those activities and trash and everything off the street and contained within the project. So with that, we've been to the land use committee twice, and that was after we did a 500-foot mailing, radius mailing before the first committee meeting, at which we had two of the commercial neighbors come out, and that was the only public input we've had on the project so far. It's been relatively quiet, and we are scheduled for a public hearing with the City of Los Angeles on June 17th. As part of this project, we're asking for what's called an unified elder care permit process. The city a number of years ago recognized that these facilities don't really meet the traditional definition of a residential project, nor do they meet the definition of really a commercial project under the code. And so it's essentially a site plan review process that allows us to ask for certain deviations. For instance, we're asking for a deviation from the residential bicycle parking provisions, which require one space per unit, which would require this building to have about 140 bicycles for people that can't essentially ride bikes. So we're parking per the commercial code so that there's 22 bikes to accommodate the guests and the employees. So there are certain things wrapped in within that permit, and it's a site plan review process. And otherwise, everything is pretty much consistent with what's allowed in the underlying zoning. And obviously, we would love the support.
Does anybody on the council have any questions?
Most of them. There's a possibility that some of the assisted living residents may. The memory care residents will not have the physical ability to drive as a function of adult. So I think some of the statistics show that somewhere between 95 and 98% of the residents will not drive. Because this isn't senior independent living, which is more traditional senior housing, where it's a little bit more mobile. These are people that have issues with medication or bathing or some kind of impairment, and therefore driving is probably not going to be high on the list.
Mr. Luna?
No. So we have entitlements with the city, which is essentially the site plan review process and the permitting to allow this to move forward. And as part of land use in the city, the neighborhood councils offer support and suggestions or not support. So we're asking for the full board support. We have gotten a thumbs up from the land use committee to come to the full board. And if supported, we would ask for a letter of support to put into the case file for the zoning administrator.
I'd like to know what the units are going to cost before I tell you that.
It is a private facility. I know the property owner is currently working out an agreement with the operator, and the operators will most likely dictate how that works. That's
sure, but I mean, how can we vote when we don't even know what it's going to be? I didn't know that.
Maria, did you have a question?
Wait to vote then until it's gotten to that point. Oh, just the project itself.
The skeleton.
Oh, okay.
One thing I'd just like to add is that when the inception of the project is based on a demand study that looked at this immediate area, and generally most projects we work on look at a 5-mile radius in urban areas, sometimes 5 and 10 in suburban, and generally they use the demographics of age and income census data for Van Nuys in this area. So as far as, you know, the cost, of course, I don't know what I can't tell you what the rents are. I will tell you that the whole market feasibility is based on the study done based on local demographics. That's age and income demographics from the most current census.
Ms. Skelton.
Yeah, I mean, the national statistically, statistically, the average age of people coming into assisted living and memory care are generally, I would say now it's more like in the early 80s. It used to be a little younger. So when I say 24 to 36 months, that's unfortunately based on medical and health issues. It's not an issue where someone can't afford to stay or someone's only allowed to stay. Generally, when someone leaves assisted living, either they've had to move on to a hospital, nursing home, or they've passed on. So that's just a national average for all assisted living.
So the facility is going to be visited by ambulances pretty often.
No, actually,
not quite that bad yet. Assisted living. Period.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like a convalescent hospital.
Correct. Candido. I have no objection to that. If it pleases the council, I'm happy to adopt the language as is. And Carino will assist me in getting them their letter of support. Do I have any objections to that? All right. Well, then Donna should say something.
I'm hoping that this doesn't turn out a disaster like we have in Reseda, where they have a 5-story apartment building and it's taking forever. It's a lot taller than the other one. It worries me that it's 5 stories and it's a huge box and it's taking forever. I don't know how long this is going to take. That's the only thing that worries me. It seems to be a large thing, and I have a feeling it's going to take a long time, and it's not going to look very good. I think it's going to cause problems taking forever, so I'm hoping that they at least have some plan so they don't take forever like Reseda's taking forever.
Very good. Thank you, Donna.
That's right. I can address both of those points. So with regard to the height, this is actually directly across the street from IMT's big project that's under construction right now. So that entire corridor is changing. And so this is consistent with building heights that were approved at their project. And so just south of Sherman Way. This is a kind of a priority intersection, a priority area for some of the, forget, someone in the audience was talking about Van Nuys Boulevard and Lancashire and sort of what this could be. So we're excited for some of the beautification opportunities that this can bring to an area that has literally no trees right now. And with regard to construction, it's probably about a 16-month construction schedule. And if all goes well, we anticipate pulling building permits in the fall.
Very good. Without objection, I make a motion that we adopt the language as is for 8M. With that, I call for the vote. Mr. Secretary.
Just a second. President Thomas?
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin?
Yes.
Treasurer Hopp?
Aye.
Secretary Hendry, aye. Mr. Kamara?
Yeah.
Mr. De La Cuesta?
Yes.
Mr. Guevara?
Yep.
Ms. Havard? Mr. Ozarevitz?
Yep.
Mr. Luna?
Yes.
Mr. Martin?
Yes.
Ms. Meyer?
Yes.
Ms. Padden?
Yes.
Ms. Skelton?
Yes.
Mr. Waleka?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Very good. Carino, give me the language for the letter, and we'll get it done and get it to...
I will do.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
And before you keep going, and it's getting late, we kind of bypassed my report on the budget advocates, and I would like to say a couple of real quickie words on that so I can let you know what we need to get on the next agenda for that.
Sure. If you would like to speak on the budget advocates, go right ahead.
Okay. Very quickly, let me tell you that we've been meeting for 5 or 6 months now. We met with Rick Cole on the 5th of May, and he was very receptive to our recommendations. We're meeting the mayor after his vacation. We'll be meeting Mr. Cole, who is the deputy mayor, again on the 26th of June. And what we are trying to do was we were trying to get each neighborhood council to hear what we've suggested or our recommendations, and then hopefully vote to adopt the white paper and then also do a community impact statement so that we could state that there was the agreement, and I had the community impact statement number, but I'm not going to go into all that right now because we can't do it yet anyway. But let me briefly tell you that real quick. City employees 10 years ago were getting salaries, benefits, and pensions in the amount of 67.78% of the general fund. Now, 10 years later, it's 86% of the city's budget. They were not paying some years ago into the pension, you know, percentage of the, for the health care and pension. Now they've been a little bit, and we're trying to get it up to 10% because the city is verging on insolvency, seriously. They started out the year with $242 million short. They found some money, and they're being able to somewhat balance this budget. Some of it is one-time money, but they're doing it a lot more wisely this time than they have in the past. Real quick, and by the way, a lot of that goes for lawsuits and problems, workers' comp with firemen and police department. Hold on, Miriam. Our biggest thing we recommended was pension reform. We want them to initiate a pension reform commission to really thoroughly vet this and get back to them. Other large entities like San Diego, San Francisco, San Jose have done this in relation to the Pension Reform Act of 2014, and it's working for them. We want them to commit resources for public education program on pension reform for taxpayers, so you know what it is they're trying to get you to do. The LACERS and the LAFPP boards need to be united. In other words, combined. It's going to save a lot of fees. They pay millions in fees to take care of these funds. Funds as in the portfolio for the money that's invested. Updating our infrastructure and repairing that because we're falling apart. And we have right now between 7 and 10, be like boy, billion dollars of deferred maintenance for the city. Our streets, our sidewalks, our sewers, et cetera. If we had a major earthquake like they talked about at our summit, we would have thousands of deaths because this city would just crumble. And that, I mean, look at our fire department, 50 years old. Our police department, same thing. Downtown, even worse. So that's a major issue. Real quick, there's a few more, but I'm gonna try to go past some of it. Updating our technology. We have really old computer system. The major problem is the computers don't talk city to city or department to department. So if they don't do that, they don't also talk with the mayor. So there's a problem with duplication of effort, wasted effort, and so on. And they don't know that as thoroughly as they could if they had an updated IT system that would talk to different departments, everybody be connected, everybody could look up stuff, and it would be a lot simpler, but it's going to cost a lot of money to do, and that's why they keep putting it off. I had an estimate on that, but I don't have it right here in front of me. Sustainability. I have to really tell you this. LA is a world leader in sustainability in many different fields, but especially in the built environment. Sustainability of efforts, and I was going to ask them that, but they've already gone, provide well-paying jobs in an innovative industry. Mayor Garcetti announced recently that the U.S. Green Building Council will move its 2016 Green Build International Conference and Expo from San Diego to L.A. Yay, in 2016, which is going to bring us a lot of money, we hope, and at least 30,000 visitors, and we need all the help we can get. Then there's some other things on energy. We have the most Energy Star buildings certified, 35% less energy are responsible for 35% fewer greenhouse gas emissions. We have 268 LEED certified commercial buildings, 1,431 LEED certified residential units, and more municipal LEED certified square footage than any other city. We're leading the parade, guys, and other cities are coming to us and asking us how we've done this. So that's a good thing. Creating a fair and efficient system of contracts with city workers and vendors, because there's major problems with that, and RFPs and a few other things. So I'm going to skip a lot of this stuff and just tell you the other main thing we wanted was to set up an efficient collections department. They don't have that. And, for example, the parking facilities downtown all are done with cash. There are no credit cards. There's no card that you slide or anything. It's all cash. When those vendors turn in that money, how do we know how much is legitimate and how much isn't exactly? So they pay taxes on whatever they turn in, but we got to tell you, we know for a fact they're not turning in half of what they're actually collecting. There are other things they need to collect, but that's just an example.
Thank you, Jeanette.
So I'm just letting you know. We're hoping that you will follow. I'm going to give you a synopsis next time, and I'm hoping that we can do an impact statement on that because we need the support so that the mayor will adopt it. Thank you.
Thank you for your service. Yes, let's hear from Miriam.
I disagree with Ted that the fact is that the big politicians that the city council may are the highest paid, and you're going after just city workers. I think you're in a fallacy that they give away our money. They're giving away millions of dollars every single week. What was the recent $1? What was that? Was from the trash cans, costing $17,000 for six trash cans in Boyle High and in the Skid Row. Okay, this is wasting. They're wasting our money. They're doing copycat fee waivers. They're spending our money, the city council. You're attacking workers. You know, these are middle-class people. And let me tell you something. They can't hardly even afford to live here, living in a house. You can't even buy a house. The fact is that you became a conservative Democrat, an ultra-right-wing Democrat, right-wing almost to the Republican. And I'll tell you, I mean, you've got to realize that people have to make a living. We all have to make a living, okay? You can't just go out there and just take money away from them and then give it to other people like business tax exemptions.
Thank you, Miriam.
That's what they're doing. That's what you want to do.
The lowest paid.
We got off track a little bit here. Candito.
Yeah, let's get back.
Did you have something?
In 2008, we tanked.
Very good.
the lowest paid person who is an office worker who's a cleaner, $43,000 a year. Okay.
Thank you. We are all going to thank Jeanette Hopp for her service as a budget advocate, and we're going back to the agenda. Thank you, Jeanette, for the hard work that you do.
Thank you.
She spends days and days down at City Hall on our behalf. So thank you, Jeanette. And okay, now back to the agenda. 8N, bring Ciclavia and People Street to Van Nuys, course of action, outreach, flyers, open design competition, and choosing a location for the parklet. Karina.
Is it Thursday? Thank you for letting me present. I've been working on this for a couple months and been working with other people in making this happen. I know that I presented in at Nuri's office a couple weeks ago, and they're very excited, not only for bringing Ciclavia, but also having parklets in the Van Nuys neighborhood, and I would like to
beautify the neighborhood.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things. And what I would like to do is have an open competition for someone to design a parklet to allow other non organization like the AIA, some of the publications that would do some outreach as far as allowing an open competition, open people who are young designers or architects to and also to bring attention to Van Nuys, which would definitely bring attention in the design and arts and architecture community. So I'm also requesting $100 for printing flyers to give to the business around here, so let them know, especially bicycle shops, which would bring more bicyclists know about having a Ciclavia in the area, and also to get engaged on the conversation of having parklets in the Van Nuys area. I do have some of the proposals that were brought up in our past meetings. I could send them out. One is on Tommy's, right next to it, because the reason why it was chosen is because it was open 24/7. Therefore, it gives more visibility and more more activity in the area, and they could monitor the parklets. Another one that I've researched is the one on the corner of Fryer and Van Nuys. It's by the Yummies cheesesteak. There's two businesses that right next to it. One's a taquiera and the other one's Philly cheesesteak. So that would bring more business, and actually I'm trying to get a meeting with the owner of the property, the adjacent property, mm-hmm. to give the support and also for the business, but which I think from the initial meeting that I had with their staff that they were very receptive, and I think the other one is one on Van Nuys. It's a taco stand right north of Victory on Van Nuys Boulevard. It's a Tacos Al Vapor. It used to be where the Fox Theater was. Yeah, but those are possible sites. We don't have to choose the site right now, but I want to bring it to the full board to absorb it and try to, bring it to, make it happen as far as all the work that I've been doing.
Very good work, Karina. Does anybody have any questions for Mr. De La Cuesta? Candido?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm open for suggestions as far as because I know there's as we're going through the process, there's new business coming in. I know there's a taco or a Mexican restaurant that just replaced the Indian restaurant. So I'm looking at possibilities.
Very good job, Carino. Does anybody else have any questions for Carino?
Good job.
Do you need a vote from us, Carino, or we're just
I'm asking for funding to print some flyers.
I think it's already part of outreach anyway, so all you need to do is get Jeanette to use the
feedback.
Right.
I don't think you need to vote on it.
Yeah, we don't need to vote on it. No, it's already in the budget. If you guys want to do a voice vote, it's fine, but.
Well, I think it's pretty open because I've been going with Ronnie Schiff right here. She's been helping me out with doing the parklets and doing the research, and it's pretty much open what you could put. There's two on Spring Street in downtown where they have a foosball, they have tables and benches and cycling exercise machines, and one of the things that it's kind of floating around is maybe leaving books at the parklet, just for people to exchange books or other things within that parklet. It's just sort of that open ended. Idea that could create something other than a street.
Very good work, Karina. Before we adjourn, do you guys want to hear from Lydia and Glenn Bailey?
We need to hear from Lydia and Glenn Bailey.
Lydia, did you have anything for us? You want to come say hi?
Yes.
Lydia Grant, everybody. Glenn Bailey, everybody. Mr. Bailey.
Good evening, board members. Glenn Bailey, pleasure to be here. First of all, I'd like to once again remind the board members, we had a great representation from Van Nuys at the March Valley Alliance for Neighborhood Councils meetings. Thank you. We missed you at the May meeting last week. So just remember, it's the second Thursday of every month, just down the street at Sherman Oaks Hospital, 6:30. There's always interesting topics. Sometimes guest speakers, we had the mayor with the new DWP head at the March meeting. Of course, we had the mixer in April. Just to give you a heads up, for November, we're planning to do a Planning 101. We do this every couple years. It's basically designed for new as well as experienced board members dealing with all aspects of planning issues, planning training, if you will. So there's it can go into basics for those who haven't had experience with planning. That's what the Planning 101 part. And then those that want to delve into details such as variances and conditional use permits and all the other different things that you deal with as a neighborhood council. Secondly, I do want to thank Jeanette, Eric, and for your participation with the Budget Advocates. I don't know if it's come up before. You should agendize for your June meeting the new designation for your budget reps. You get to select two budget reps, and the reason for that is the schedule is moving up to July. What usually happens in October for the selection of the Budget Advocates is being moved up to July. So that means all neighborhood councils are going to have to designate in short order their budget reps. And then lastly, with that subject, but also with the Congress of Neighborhoods, which, as you may know, is the annual event that over 700 neighborhood council board members attend once a year. This year it'll be on September 20th at City Hall. There's about 30 different workshops. We'll have the mayor there, other citywide elected officials, many of the council members, et cetera, department heads. So put that on your calendar. Don't plan anything else for September 20th. It's all day. And to that end, and Jeanette can maybe give more information. The mayor did not include in his proposed budget funds for funding the Congress. I don't know if those were restored by the city council yet or not.
They haven't finished doing their deal. They were ripping apart what we presented to them
okay.
today.
Right, and it goes to full council next week.
Right.
So I know it's too late for this fiscal year and for tonight, but we don't know if the $20,000 that's normally contributed in the past for the expenses of the Congress are going to be forthcoming from the city budget or not. And so there is an opportunity now with a new budget line item or a new fund that's been established for the budget advocates as well as the Congress of Neighborhoods that neighborhood councils can donate monies. And if it's this fiscal year, it's monies that are left over that you weren't going to spend anyway and it would otherwise be swept. All right. Well, if you don't have any leftover, it's a moot point. However, you can contribute for next fiscal year's monies as well. And so the total cost of the Congress is about $40,000. That works out to about $500 per neighborhood council. Some give more, some give a little less, but consider that depending on what your budget looks like, you know, for as of July. It's a simple process. You don't have to demand warrants. It's just filling out the form once you vote for either. You can put Congress and budget advocates on the same form. So please consider that. And thank you again for your hospitality. I always come here after another meeting, and you're always going strong. So I do make it a point to stop by. So if you have any – sorry, one last important – one very important announcement. The Valley Alliance of Neighborhood Councils due to popular demand of neighborhood councils, wants to get feedback from all councils in the Valley, all 34, actually it's 32, who had elections this year. Because the department and the city clerk are going to be doing a report back to city council, and I understand that that's going to be done at Education and Neighborhoods on June 17th. We won't have an opportunity as individual neighborhood councils probably to weigh much into that, but we want to give our input. So to that end, the Valley Alliance of Neighborhood Councils is hosting in this very room, so we're all coming to Van Nuys, on Saturday, June 28th, starting at 9 a.m., we're having a post-election wrap-up. So those of you that have good things to say, not so good things to say, but most importantly, suggestions of how we can improve things for next time in 2016, please bring those with you. If you can't attend that session, you certainly can send that with your fellow board members or email them in, or we'll probably try to get out a survey as well. So if you'd please put that in your calendar. We're coming here, so we hope that there'll be some folks from Van Nuys Neighborhood Council to welcome us
here. Sure.
All right, thank you.
Candy, did you have something for Glenn?
So that's why we've set aside 3 hours for all sorts of input, because we couldn't do it at a neighborhood council meeting. We can't do it at the Valley Alliance meeting. We're going to do it strictly focused on input on elections.
Very good. Thank you, Glenn Bailey. Lydia Grant.
First of all, I had planned on, before Candido brought that up, to thank Candido and Jim Piper and John Camara for going around the city and helping with the elections. They have been amazing, and it's been great because I was helping to schedule those volunteers, and it was awesome to know, hey, you know, we're coming. And it was just awesome because it was like three people I could count on each time, and it was great. So we really appreciated having them. And don't forget, there's one more this weekend on Sunday. So if you guys decide you want to help out, let me know. It's going to be the west side, the areas of Westwood, Westchester, Playa, down to Venice. So that we have one last election weekend, and that's it. I wanted to give you guys an update. We did, as a commission, just change one of our policies. And you'll be getting it. It is in the newsletter, but just to give you a heads up on it, we've changed the posting policy. It was requested by the neighborhood councils that they did not have to post in 5 posting locations. Mm-hmm. And so it is changing to 1 24-hour brand active posting location. However, it's going to be even more important that you follow the rules to make sure that your website are up to date, that you're notifying neighborhood council support to do the ENS early notification system, and that you're sending out emails to your group, because there's going to be a little more focus on the computer component than on the physical postings. And one of the reasons why is because the neighborhood councils felt that really wasn't great outreach, that some neighborhood councils still only have 2 people, even if they posted in 5 places. So what we're asking is another piece of that is a better outreach plan on what you're going to do for outreach. You guys already do amazing outreach, but just to make sure that the department knows what you're doing, there's going to be some new ideas coming up, and we're also going to put some basic guidelines on the websites to make sure that you're protected. Just an example of one of those issues we've had is some of the neighborhood councils did their websites based on, say, the president set it up, and then the president left in the election and took the name with him. There's been some problems, so we need to make sure we set guidelines to protect you and to give you some other alternatives. So we're going to be working on that over the next few weeks. And we, you know, have training we're discussing. You know that the commission meetings are twice a month. I do ask that you go and sign up for the Empower LA newsletter if you aren't already on it, because it gives you the information. And also to do the to sign up for the commission the commission e-blasts that go out through early notification, so you know what we're discussing, so you can make sure that you give input on it, because if we don't hear from you, you know, we make decisions that may not be in your best interest. So I think that was all I had. Oh, one more thing. There's actually going to be 2 trainings in June here at Van Nuys. That's what's being planned right now. One of those is how neighborhood councils can advance into better websites using the Nextdoor, using the new system, which I can never remember, but the one that uses the voter access information, Nation Builder, how to tweet, how they're going to be teaching these things and how to do outreach strategies. So there's going to be 2 meetings in June. I believe the first one is going to be on June 5th. That's just tentative. But just to give you an idea, the trainings will be here. They'll be for the whole valley, but they will be here. So just letting you know. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grant. We're something else. All right, getting into old business. We can spend a few hours on this if you guys would like. 9A, the planning for the 4th of July concert. I have nothing to update you guys on this. I know Derek and Maria were going back and forth with the Valley Cultural Center. It looks like that's going to be way too expensive for us.
All right, so he can't do it. He can't do it for $2,500, and he actually can't do what we need, so he just can only provide the an outdoor video, and he can only do that for $3,500. So that's out of the question. So we do need a nonprofit to work with, and I was curious if there was any communication with the library. Kelly?
Kelly did email me in regards to something else, so I will definitely follow up with her and send out a memo if I have anything to add to that.
I know maybe another suggestion was Kathleen's group, maybe partnering with her nonprofit to do something, or with the young lady who has the bicycle nonprofit to do something. But we do need a nonprofit to move forward with permits and things of that nature.
Yes.
Well, what we're hoping to do, Penny, is work with the library who already has that in place. So if Kelly can get on board and say yes, then that would already be taken care of. But we got to wait to hear from Kelly first.
Yep, I will go and say hi to Kelly this week.
All right.
Perfect. 9B, plan to bring back the Van Nuys video conferencing to L.A. City Council meetings. What we are going to do after the fiscal year, we get our new budget, we are going to come up with a plan to reach out to all of the neighborhood councils and try to get them to foot the bill, whatever it would be, like $680 each. So that is still on the front burner. 9C, training the entire board in all new policies and procedures from Dunn staff, an hour and a half. I will send an email to Amber Meshack
She did suggest that we do the training along with our retreat, so we will resurrect the retreat idea. I'm liking the idea of having it either at the Japanese Gardens, at the Sportsman's Lodge, or on top of the court, which is really cool. You can see, like, the whole valley. I will let you guys know about that. 8-9-D, address the process of creating a no-vending zone around St. Elizabeth's Church and Van Nuys High School. Did you have something on that, Candy? Very good. Very good. With that, public comment. Does anybody have anything? Yes, let's start with Glenn Bailey. Okay, go back to B.
Sorry, you moved very quickly, and I'll make this really quick. For the Van Nuys video conferencing, can I make a suggestion that if you've taken a business, I know you took some sort of an action before, I don't know exactly what it was, but it would be appropriate to file a community impact statement and use the council file number for the city budget, which you have on the agenda 14-0600, and file a community impact statement with regards to reopening the video conferencing at Van Nuys City Hall back up. And if you've taken that position, you don't even have to vote tonight. It's on your agenda. You could vote tonight and then just do it. So I'll leave that to you, but it's a suggestion. It'd be timely because council will be considering next week the budget, and it would just be a way of getting
it. If it pleases the council, we can readopt the language on 9B, so I can file a community impact statement on behalf of the council. I make a motion that we adopt the language 9B as is.
Second.
With that, I call for the vote, Mr. Secretary.
Mr. Secretary. Okay. President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin. Yes. Treasurer Hawk.
Yes.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Mr. Kamara.
Yes.
Stepped out, absent.
Mr. Guevara.
Yes.
Ms. Tavares. Mr. Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Mr. Luna. Yes. Mr. Martin.
Yes.
Ms. Meyer.
Absent. Oh, I'm sorry. Maria, I thought. Sorry.
Ms. Skelton.
Yes.
Kathleen votes yes.
Okay, Ms. Skelton.
She's out.
Did you go pick up her son?
Mr. Malacca.
Yes.
Mr. Bailey, the council file is 14-0600. Very good.
I counted as passed. 12-I.
Perfect. Very good. I will file the community impact statement by the end of the week. All right, public comment. Miriam, you're recognized for 3 hours.
Well, I like what he said, but there's a lot of things that need to be covered, and I need to. But the point is, you had elected offices tonight. One of them is a nonprofit, and I've been going to one of the nonprofit in Van Nuys, and I don't know if it was a qualification or not problem. I don't know. I'm in the dark. I feel that the agenda did not write down what the qualifications for these offices were, and I think you should call, you know, null and void, the person who was sick. I feel betrayed because I was told I can qualify for a nonprofit, and now it's pulled under my foot, and I can't run for the office now because it's been elected.
That's true. The seat has been filled, Miriam.
Well, I disagree with it. I like to dispute it because if that is that a large seat or is that a zone seat?
It's a nonprofit number 2.
Does that a number 2 mean it's in the zone? You have to live it within?
No, it's the second nonprofit with Roland Guevara holding nonprofit number 1.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I like to file for running for the seat. I like a reconsideration on the vote.
The seat like has been filled. We do have youth available. and school representative.
You know, I thought Mrs. Hopp told me that I could qualify for nonprofit.
Well, that was before I knew he had somebody else running.
Well, why didn't you speak up?
Because I didn't know until tonight.
You voted for it.
All right, this is fascinating back and forth. Do you have anything else?
You voted for it. So, you know, you betrayed me. You hurt my feelings.
Right, Donna. Did you have something?
Yeah, this solid. I don't like how all of a sudden these seats are brought out at the last moment. They just say vacant, but I didn't know exactly that they were coming today. It seems like we're kind of rushing in and voting people in. I'm talking about the board specifically that you guys are bringing in and bringing it without even letting people have a chance to be able to run for the seat. But I also like to know what number one and number two is and bring that out. And right now I'm extremely hungry because there's no food. I mean, I'm sorry that there should be a set of people that it can't be just one person coming up with food, that somebody else can come up with food on that board. What happens with some of the other people over there? And if she can't come up with it, then somebody else can come up with food because I'm starving. I didn't have a chance to go and get something to eat. I had to run over here. I took a little nap and then come over here. And I'm happy about the Van Nuys video conferencing. I'm hoping that we come up with little neighborhood councils. So I'd like to be able to do that and find out when Reseda's, when Arlita's meeting. I want to start doing that as soon as we can. And I like the impact statement. Oh, okay. Good. We're going to eat this. I guess I can take my medicine. Okay.
Right. So Donna's got
anyway,
a girl of her.
I just don't like the way it's done.
Andy.
Mr. President, I just want to mention quickly, I don't know if all of you have seen the paper where the San Fernando Rescue Mission was destroyed, and with the leadership of Ms. Martinez and Mr. Corian, they're trying to raise funds. Next month, we're going to ask for $500 for the Rescue Mission. They've done a lot in our area. They've taken a lot of homeless people out of this area. They've done a lot of great things for many, many years, and if you can spend $2,500 here, $2,500 just to help them rebuild them.
Happy to do it. Email me the request. I'll put it on the agenda.
So what if they have? But their needs are very big. They're very big. $500. Please.
All right, very good. Does anybody else?
How did they get destroyed?
Maria Scherzer.
I just want to, it's not really a public comment, but I just want to address an item that was number five, the secretary's report.
Yes, ma'am.
And since you mentioned that you're in discussion with somebody about the forum.
What we did is what you brought up, we put on the agenda.
Right.
We adopted just the April minutes as is, and then we are going to circle back around and look at the vote in January and April. The city attorney sent us something saying that the community impact statement didn't actually pass because it wasn't over 10 or over 11. It was like 9-8.
Right. Okay, and just for this that you so kindly prepared, I think it's maybe just a typo, but the possible would be 15, not 16.
Mr. Secretary?
Add up the possible votes.
Uh-huh.
Go on 15 and have 16.
Would be half of it, which is 11.
There were only 15 possible votes, and you have 16.
The quorum, though, is 11. The quorum is the number of people to take the votes.
She's not disputing that. She's right. Disputing the number of people that were here.
Because if you review the minutes, all the other votes were also like 15.
Perfect. We'll keep that on the agenda. And
it's numbers. I know it's picky, but little things like
that. No, it's totally understandable, and we're happy to do it.
You know, one vote can make a difference, and there really
and it does.
15 possible persons here who are voting. So I don't know how you can have 16 possible.
There were some.
The point is taken, and Mr. Hendry will review it and email it back out. Thank you, Maria. Anybody else for public comment?
Yes.
Going once.
Going twice. Let's
going twice. It is my honor and privilege to adjourn this meeting.
Thank God.
All right.
Never a dull moment.
You youth and school representative. Like if the person has any affiliation with any of the schools in Van Nuys, or like works for a school. I think you might qualify then. Are you affiliated with like actual schools in Van Nuys?